I just thought, you know what, if people can pay me €10 and I can get them savings that far exceed €10, then everyone's a winner.
I nearly fell off my chair when me and you had a coffee, maybe a couple of months ago now, and you told me how many members you have.
Yeah, so we're now upwards of 200,000. I know I say this a lot, until we get a million customers, I'm not going to rest easy. So,
it takes courage and belief in yourself and your business idea to take the step to set up your own business. In the early stages, entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, even through those milestone moments. Deciding to commit to the idea you've been mulling over, learning, growing, and developing your skills, building a team to help you along the way, preparing to launch into new markets. Enterprise Ireland is there for all of those startup moments. From providing advice and guidance to new founders through our startup network, to pre-seed funding and early investment, we're here to help bring your ambition to fruition. To find out how Enterprise Ireland can help you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Nostra, an Irish IT company, offers world-class managed IT services, cloud solutions, IT support, and more, all tailored to meet your business needs. Whether you're streamlining operations or boosting productivity, their expert team is ready to help. Visit nostra.ie or email info@nostra.ie to see how they can solve your IT challenges today. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code VOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code FOX20. Elevate your marketing game today. Rory, welcome to the pod.
Great to be here.
The most famous travel man in Ireland.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but hopefully someday.
You are in a very unique position. You have built a very unique company. What is it?
Yeah, so Rory's Travel Club, I set it up about 5 years ago, and the idea was to inspire Irish people to travel and to save them money. We kind of flipped the traditional model of holidays on its head, where the consumer would be paying between 10 and 50% to the people they're booking with as a commission, and these guys make their money on the commission. And what we've done is we've stripped the cost back, we flipped the model on its head, and we want our customers, who we charge a small annual fee of €12 a year, we want them booking direct, cutting out the middlemen that were taking that kind of 10 to 30, 40, 50% commission. We want our guys book direct, save the unnecessary commission in my eyes, and save money and get really, really cheap holidays.
I nearly fell off my chair when me and you had a coffee, maybe a couple of months ago now, and you told me how many members you have.
Yeah, so we're now upwards of 200,000. I know I say this a lot, until we get a million customers, I'm not going to rest easy. So every day we're constantly striving to get better. We're improving our service. And thankfully, the more members we get, the more partners come on board that will give us better offers, which will get us more members. So we're constantly leveraging to hopefully get an even bigger and better service as the days, months, weeks, years go on.
But it's a beautiful idea. So 200,000 members, 12 quid a head. You do the math, listener. It's a sizable business.
Yeah, to be completely honest, and it's kind of bizarre, and a lot of people, like, I suppose I kind of fell into this in a way. So whenever I set up Rory's Travel Club, initially I kind of tested the waters. It was a bit of a hobby. I grew a bit of a following online, and I'll never forget it. I put a Facebook post out. I was still working full time and doing my posts and talking about my own personal travels and trying to get a few deals on the side for my audience. But I put a post up one day saying, I'm thinking of charging €10 a year. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go full time, just me. I'm going to go work my ass off and try and get you as many discounts as possible and the best discounts I can possibly get you. Do you think it's worth 10 euro? So I just put that out to the world, and there was like maybe 40 people came back, said yes. And I was like, sweet, 400 quid, quit my job.
Why a tenner?
I kind of believe a tenner is disposable. So a tenner is something you don't really have to think about. And also, what I was kind of trying to do, so the average kind of third party booking platform takes 15 to 20% commission. So the cheapest hotel room typically in Ireland you'll get is, you'll very little, you'll very, you'd struggle to find a hotel room under 100 euro on a normal night. And if they're 100 euro on the third party, 15 to 20% is 15 to 20 euro, which was my, which is what I was looking to save our consumers, our customers, if you want to call them that, whenever we started. So I thought, if people pay me a tenner and they save 15, 20 quid, if not more, on a one night hotel booking, then their quid's in, I'm happy enough. And I didn't know if I could pay myself when I set this up. And thankfully, we've just evolved through just hard work. We're 4 years into a project now, which is like, even I've just come back from Sri Lanka, and over the last 7 days, I've averaged 14 hours a day on my phone. So even though I was in Sri Lanka with 40 of our customers, I still put in 100 hours because I'm just so passionate about it. I think we're building something that is going to be really, really special. We're positively affecting and inspiring hundreds of thousands of people already, and we're only getting going. So
what did you want it to be when you set it up, though? Because you said, oh, I'm going to throw this on a Facebook post. How long ago was that?
In 2020.
So I thought I misheard you. So it really is only just 5 years old.
Yeah.
So what did you want it to be when you set it up?
Yeah, so to be honest, no business plan. I just went for it. I just thought, you know what? If people can pay me 10 euro and I can get them savings that far exceed 10 euro, then everyone's a winner. And that was kind of my concept, was I wanted to give Irish people a route to booking holidays, accommodations, attractions direct, cutting out the middleman and saving local people money. Obviously, what did help in terms of the local staycation market, what really helped was that, and still, there's a lot of noise around the price of holidays, staycations, hotels being really, really expensive. So if I can make it considerably cheaper for the consumer, then happy days. And if they're only paying me a small minimum fee, it was 10 euro, I upped it to 12. But still, I've actually just took a call about an hour ago for a lovely 4-star, basically Virgin on 5-star property, where if our guys book one night in June, they're going to save 130 euro. So if you can pay me 12 euro and I can save you 130 on one night, then...
Yeah, it seems crazy. Like, it seems too cheap. That's why I was so... I couldn't get over when I heard it first. I was like, 12 quid, that seems like crazy cheap.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of business people listening, and they're probably... If they hear me saying this, they'll probably bang their head of a wall. But like, we often get told I could charge more, and I know I could charge more, but by keeping it affordable, we're really going for volume. As I said, my first line, I always say, till I get to 1 million customers, which I know if I can get 200,000 customers in Ireland with a service that we're only really in second gear, we're constantly evolving, constantly making better, then I know once we go into the UK and further afield, 1 million customers is not going to be difficult to get. So by keeping it at 12 euro, keeping it affordable for everyone, I like to do things that are a no-brainer. If it's not a no-brainer, I typically try and avoid it. By keeping it at 12 euro, the customer, and the thing is, We want everyone to win here. So if we get our 12 euro, we're happy. If we're going to do massive, massive numbers in terms of volume of customers, if the customer's only paying 12 euro, then their expectation for their 12 euro isn't going to be as high as if they were paying, say, 25 euro or 30 euro. So their expectation's quite low in comparison to what we deliver, and what we're going to deliver is going to be even better going forward. So yeah, 12 euro. It was 10. Until I got my first VAT bill, and then I passed on the 2 euro.
You're doing God's work out here, Rory, looking after everybody.
To be completely honest, it's funny because I was so worried about putting on that extra 2, and I think we might have got less than 5 comments about us putting the price up. And I mean, I was sleepless nights. I was really so worried about what kind of backlash. And it was just, we got a massive, our first fat bill. I was like, right, I thought it was a good idea to put that, because a lot of people were telling me to increase the price anyway. Mm. And I put €2 on, which just obviously covers the VAT on every sale.
So how does it work, right? People go on to Rory's Travel Club, they sign up, pay their princely sum of €12. What happens next?
Yeah, so we've two memberships. We didn't always have two, by the way. So initially, we just basically, people paid us €12. We got them on average 20 offers a week on holidays, both in Ireland and abroad.
When you say 20 offers, how do they get that?
So they get it via email. So We send on average 2 emails a week. We typically only send emails during the week because obviously that's when our staff are working. Usually it's a Tuesday and a Thursday. Sometimes it fluctuates depending on what comes into our inbox, but it's usually 2 emails a week. And there's a wide variation. So I know, for example, our next email, we have Agado Heights, a 5-star hotel in Killarney. We have the Clifford Lions Hotel in Kildare. We have a family holiday, actually, for July and August with Stena Line, which is basically your Stena, the Stena return, you have your car and you have 7 nights in one of them Euro camp things in North Wales. And it's like £800 for a family of 4 in July and August.
Jeez, so that's the kind of very good.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. We've got these river boats. I'm sure you've seen people. You can rent a boat and go up the Shannon. So there's a crowd doing that up in Antrim called Ban River Cruises. I know they're on our next email. And basically, if you book 2 nights, you get 2 free. So for £400 for 4 people, you've got your own boat, which you drive up and down the river, stopping in obviously beautiful towns and villages along the way. So there's a wide variation. Obviously, we'll do the likes of your cruises, your Disneys. We do soccer matches. We have Ireland.
So, yeah, it's not just for stuff people don't want to go to. That's excess capacity. It's actually stuff like, I've been on your email newsletter, I think a year now. Like, it's stuff people want to go to. Like, sometimes you sign up for these services, and after a couple of weeks, you're like, it's just the stuff that people didn't buy.
Yeah.
You know, it's the excess capacity no one wants to go to.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, and in terms of, like, a lot of places that were doing discounts before, it is exactly what you were saying. It was the kind of 3-star hotels that were struggling to sell out even on a Saturday night. Mm. Whereas the likes of, over the last couple of weeks, we've had like the K Club, Carlton House, Castle Martyr. I know we've Castle Leslie coming on next week. So we've the most beautiful properties in the country. And of course, these places, they're not using us 7 nights a week. They might only use us once a year, twice a year when they have need periods, but we're delighted to take them, because even example, if one of these 5-star hotels has 100 rooms, maybe they have a cancellation, at least 100 of our members are going to benefit off a really, really good discount, which, yeah, I suppose, as you say as well, is the fact that everything is so localised. Ireland is such a small island. So a lot of these platforms that had maybe holiday discounts before, you could sign up and get a deal for, I don't know, a camper van in Perth. But sure, that is absolutely no use to people in Ireland. So we put out 20 offers on average a week, 1,000 a year on the island of Ireland. And like, even now, like even with the attractions, we've about 70 or 80 attractions. Here in Dublin, we have the likes of Epic Museum. Have you been, by the way?
I haven't. You were hard selling me on this the last time. I haven't.
No.
My daughter's only 2. Getting her to sustain attention for that level of time.
Yeah.
She definitely got my attention span. It's tough.
Epic is epic. but we've 40% off there. So anyone listening, like, and obviously that is different times of the year. You may be listening to this at a time where that isn't valid, but at the minute anyway, we've 40% off. So if a family go and they book and it's €60 on the website, they're now getting it for, 30, €35. So the discount on that is twice our membership on something that people would love to do.
If you're going to go, you're going to go. Exactly.
Exactly. So it's nice to get that discount.
So why do these places use you then?
Yeah, well, in terms of, all these places, they've got their fixed costs. They have a lot of availability. They're spending a lot of people on marketing. They need people in the door. And we've got now, and the best thing about what we do is, a lot of people listening, this is something, again, people with a business mind might be banging their head out of the wall. We charge, and this is what keeps us unique, keeps us humble, and keeps us special, is we don't charge no fees, no commission. So any of our partners, whether we bring them 10 grand or whether we bring them 5 million in a year, which we do have partners for bringing that amount of money to, we don't charge no fees, no commission. So everything we do is to get the consumer the best price.
God, Rory, you're such a humble. You're going to get some sort of prize after this podcast. Why not? Why not charge them? What, like you talked earlier about win-win-win. Why not charge them like a percentage of what you're bringing them?
See, we don't need to. As I say, whenever I bring it back to when I started this. So when I started Rory's Travel Club, I didn't know if I could pay myself. Now at this stage, we have a team of 10. We're launching into Scotland. We're launching into the UK. We're growing. I'm in a very fortunate position where I own 100% of this company. I'm able to pay myself a lot more than I would earn in any other job. So
almost slipped out there.
No, not at all. But in terms of, I don't need to be greedy. And everything we do, like we set up to save people money and get the consumer and get the customer the best price. If I start taking a percentage, then we're not doing what we set out to do. So our mission, and it is really, really good, and it's kind of our one of the secrets as to why we're so successful, because any other company would go and try and take 1% or 2%, whereas we're in a position we don't need to. And if you go and take 1%, where do you stop? You then potentially get greedy. And we make our money on the subscription. I know €12 a year, I know we're going to get 1 million customers, whether we do it between Ireland, Scotland and England. If we need to go into Canada, we will, or New Zealand. I know we're getting 1 million customers. We're going to be a sizable company. And if I own 100% of this company still at that stage, which I most likely will, then I'm in a very, very good position.
You'd be a rich man.
Potentially.
That's cool. That's refreshing. And I ask these obvious questions to kind of just provoke to see what your answer is, because it's interesting to know, because most people are like, a little greedy, or they're a little kind of like they get lost along the way, or they move their model, but you've stayed true to the model of serving the customer. So it kind of begs the question, how on earth did you get 200,000 people to sign up for this in just over 4.5 years, 5 years?
Yeah, I suppose everything we do is value-led. It's an exciting business. Irish people, we're inspiring them to travel. They're saving money. They're going to beautiful places. So obviously word of mouth is massive. And we've really, like, we've built it from 10 customers to 50 to 100 to 1,000 to 5,000. So we've been there the whole journey. And we're in a really, really strong position, because the more customers, the better deals. Like at the start, we didn't have the 5-star hotels. We didn't have the best of the best. And now these people are coming to us and they're trying to offload availability. We just had a 5-star hotel a couple of weeks ago come to us with 100 rooms, 50 on a Friday, 50 on a Saturday. And it was like £220 for, and this hotel's in the top 5 hotels in the country, most would say. So I think it was 250 on the Saturday and 220 on the Friday night for bed, breakfast and a bottle of Prosecco in a really, really nice 5-star, which on their website it was 400, 450.
Wow.
So we're getting people really, really good offers, and it's only getting better. Obviously, we've a very strong social media presence. On average, I'm posting across platforms. I'm posting, you're looking at about 25 different pieces of content every day.
Every day?
Every day for the last 4 years, you're looking at.
What on earth are you posting?
Yeah, well, travel is so broad. It's so simple. Like I look at on average between 7 and 15 different unique pieces of content, and some of them pieces of content will go across multiple platforms. So I actually only had done a LinkedIn post about this morning, about the platforms where we're hitting people up on 9 different platforms, and we've just under 1 million people across them platforms. So, and we're constantly hitting them with value. And everything we do, if we don't think we're adding value, or we're inspiring people, or we're getting an emotion out of people, we don't do it.
Okay, talk to me about this, because I thought I was doing well posting twice a day. What are you posting today, right? So it's a Tuesday. What are you posting today?
Yeah, so today I've already posted twice on LinkedIn. I think I have 2 or 3 things on Facebook. We've a couple of the girls actually. So we've a girl full time does our social media, and I actually chip in with whatever comes into my mind, or if I see something or come across something really good. So we typically kind of break it. We'll do about 50% of our posts will be about the offers we have coming up. So we'll post about an offer and people see it, and they have to be a member to get that offer. So if they want it. So say, for example, we work with, I don't know, Vienna Woods Hotel in Cork, and we've an offer bed, breakfast, main course and a cocktail for €140. Known, and people know that that hotel is typically, say, 200. So our guys that see this, people that aren't customers of ours, to see that on social media, Facebook, right, Instagram, TikTok, and they'll go, I was thinking of going there anyway. Sure, I may as well sign up to this lad, give him €12, I'll see if 50. And if I don't go there, I'll probably go somewhere else that he recommends. So we're basically almost putting the bait out to people and saying, well, we're basically saying to people, look, this is what we have coming. If you, and this is, and sometimes we will include the savings. So like, for example, we put out about this river cruising. That was my last post. It was about an hour ago. And on average, you're saving £300 to £400 on a booking, which is 40 times our membership. So people will see that and they'll go, Jesus, that's really, really good value. And the thing is, obviously there's, and different people have different theories in terms of how many times you need to see something online before you actually sign up or you buy it. But if people see us promoting a 5-star hotel and then an attraction and then a holiday to maybe Thailand for €1,000 or Dubai for 700, whatever it may be, if we're hitting people with different pieces of content and they see 6, 7, 8, 9 things that they may be interested in, yeah, and our fee's €12 to access all of this, then we know that we're going to get them eventually.
Rory's going to get you. How many pieces of content do you think people have to see of you, or in general, before they convert?
I'd say I'd completely guess between 15 and 25.
Okay.
And obviously it depends on what the content is, and of course who the consumer is. I know there's different rules, and people studying marketing will say there's rules of 7 and 12 and even 20 times, but of course it depends on the product. But we're such a low ticket item, like that's the beauty of what we do. €12, it's not a massive amount of money. Like we're sitting not far from Temple Bar. I think that I'm just waiting until a pint somewhere is 12.01, and I'm going to get a picture of that receipt and say, cheaper than a pint.
You're not far off, Rory. I'd say if you head down there tonight after 12 o'clock, you might hit the magic number.
You might
number.
Get the receipt.
That's wild. Yeah, that's a lot of strategy. So all that content, like I know how hard it is to do content. So like, what's your process around creating so much content? Like, talk me through the logistics of that.
Yeah, so we've 2 full-time content creators. We have one girl does our social media full-time, and then there's myself. And in terms of, it varies on what comes in. And I've got much better over the last 6 months in repurposing content that's done well back in 2021, 2022, 2023. So I'll use buzzwords like flights, or I'll write in hotels there, or even, for example, if I search on my Facebook, funny story, and then it'll bring up all any post I've done that has the words funny story in it, and I might have had a funny story that I shared 2-3 years ago, and now it's fresh, it's a completely different audience. If I want to share that again, I will. But yeah, we look, the kind of breakdown I look at is we do about 50% about what offers we have coming up, which is to convert people. We do 25% of our posts will be customer reviews, whether it's Trustpilot reviews or whether it's testimonials or people talking, and then the other 25% is to engage and entertain. So like, we'll put out posts, and it's not for my benefit, it's for the readers. So obviously we've a massive audience. I'll say, for example, has anyone been to Sorrento in Italy, any recommendations and bars, restaurants, things to do? And there might be 300 people comment on, wow, it, which is, and the thing is, so again, people on our page, even if they're not customers, they could be getting their €12 worth just by reading these comments. So we do posts on that every day. It depends on any given day, but you're looking across, we've 9 different, as I say, a new one, actually, anyone listening, which I see, we've now just hit 10,000 followers on WhatsApp. So I can,
really?
So I've got a WhatsApp group where I can actually send one WhatsApp message to 10,000 people.
It's a broadcast channel.
Broadcast channel on WhatsApp. So we're in there as well. And that's just a new one.
10,000 people.
Yeah. So I can WhatsApp 10,000 people in one go.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty huge. Good.
Yeah. So, So we're hitting people up in obviously multiple different channels, but of course it comes down to being relatable, being likable, engaging, entertaining. And of course, and I know you go on about it, I'm a massive fan of the podcast, I've told you that before, and I know you talk a lot and you've talked to a lot of founders about personal brands. Of course my name's in the title.
The clue is in the title, yeah.
And the thing is, the way I look at it is, if people, like, I'm a fairly happy-go-lucky guy, I set this up to inspire people to travel, to save people money. It's a really simple concept. Yeah. You pay me a small amount, I'll go and get you deals, and if you want to take them, then you're going to save much more than what you pay me. Really, really simple.
It's a lovely model. Like, I love it. I had such crack when we sat down to have that first coffee. I was like, this is just class. These are stories I love, like, because business can be all very serious and very, kind of overly academical and overly kind of thought, whereas this is just beautiful. It's just a beautiful story, beautiful model. You're enjoying it. You're having crack. The ethos is simple. You know, but it's not easy.
That's it. Like, I'm a fairly normal guy. I studied sports science. I wanted to be a PE teacher. Like most Irish people, Australia, New Zealand came calling. Very lucky I got a job. Actually, I know you had Mary on here, my old boss, who a completely amazing lady, by the way, who I learned an awful lot from.
That was Mary from Cool Swan.
Cool Swan, yeah.
Her episode just was so popular because she was so authentic and real and fresh and honest, and there was no bullshit with her.
That was her. I worked under for 4 years, and really just amazing entrepreneur, amazing lady, and the drive. There's very little people like her. But I was very lucky. I got a job at Cool Swan. So I went from studying sports science to selling alcohol all over the world. But what really, really helped me was I worked in a lot of different markets for them. So I was working with distributors and salespeople, and some really, really good ones who I picked up so much along the way from, in terms of different techniques and how to deal with people and how to deal with certain situations. And yeah, I suppose it's a part of, like, I think being likable is a big part of what we're doing. Like, I'm not going to go out and be like, right, I plan, I'm this big businessman. I'm just someone with a simple idea that's worked really hard and made it happen. And I was in Sri Lanka there for 10 days with 40 of our customers. I went on that trip. I did my best for them, but I went on that trip just as a regular punter. Like, I'm the same as everyone else. And I think a big part of, and I mentioned this to you before, Gary, about the online v offline, which really has helped us as a brand. Of course, so many brands are, especially e-com, is all online, but I think our offline has helped us just as much. So I've met face to face. I've sat down, had a coffee, had dinner, had a pint with about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, maybe more of that, maybe more than that of our customers.
Wow, do you reckon?
Yeah, I say I've maybe met 10,000 of our customers over the last 4 years. So the fact is, if people are saving money, they like our business, they like our concept, and if they like me as a person, then it's very easy in terms of to recommend us to friends and family, because, like, I suppose I'm putting myself out there. Like, we started doing group trips about 2 years ago, where we bring groups of people from Ireland, we bring them together and they travel together. It's predominantly about 50% solos, and then you'll get couples and you'll get sisters and whatever. It's a great way for people that want to make friends and travel together. And in my opinion, it's the best type of holiday, because I find every destination is amazing, but it's the people you meet along the way that is just as special. So we started doing group trips 2 years ago, and out of the first 50 group trips, I went on 45 of them.
What?
So I went from one place to the other. I lived in my car up and down that motorway for the best part of a year and a half, and I met and I sat.
You went on 45 group trips.
In the best part of a year, yeah. Most of them being in Ireland. And there was times where I maybe did two of them in one day. So I maybe had a group in Sligo and then a group in Donegal. And I've went from one to the other. And, meeting our customers, sitting down face to face, telling my story and having a bit of crack.
But that's properly doing the hard yards. That's because, like, a lot of people will sit behind the laptop and watch the figures and watch the metrics and watch the trends. That's properly doing the hard yards. There's no shortcut there.
Yeah, but people buy from people. And by meeting our customers, listening to them, I'm constantly getting feedback. So I'm learning everywhere I go. And yeah, I suppose, like I've openly said this, whenever I started Roy's Travel Club, I was up and down that motorway. I it's funny now because I'm offered to stay in almost every hotel we work with for free because we're bringing them that much business.
I was going to ask you that question. I was like, can you just stay anywhere for free?
No, but whenever I started, I actually often used to sleep in my car outside Applegreen. And I've done it, I'd say you're looking at about 15, 20 times where I didn't have the capital or didn't have the money that I wanted to spend on a hotel. So pulled into Applegreen for 4 or 5 hours, sat in the laptop and then off to meetings the next day.
No way.
Yeah.
But would hotels not be like, oh, look, Rory, whenever you're in town,
I know, I just would never have asked. Even now, like I don't like forcing myself or I don't like asking. I'd actually almost rather, and sometimes like back then, we probably weren't bringing them the volume that, we definitely weren't bringing them the volume that we are now. So yeah, I wasn't in a position to ask and I wasn't in the position to go and spend 150 quid on a hotel a night. So yeah, I slept in the car.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was one of the most heartwarming things was I did an interview on 2FM about a year ago. And believe it or not, I was in the office on the Friday and they played it on the Saturday. And I actually had pulled into an Applegreen and I sat outside Applegreen listening to myself and took on 2FM on like it was a 15, 20 minute interview. And it was just so surreal because like there was times I'd pull into Applegreen and we were maybe only doing 100 quid or 200 quid a day. And I was building and working my absolute ass off, whereas the then pulled in and hear it on a national broadcaster my story, it was very rewarding.
It's a pity radio's dead.
What?
It's a pity radio's dead.
It's all about podcasts.
It's all about podcasts now. That's wild. This whole story is wild. So bring me back then to the first 50 customers, right? Because I love talking to people about the 0 to 1, or in this case 0 to 50. So you've 200,000 customers now. That is mental over 4 or 5 years. Like, you know, 40,000 people a year over 5 years.
Yeah.
Bring me back to 50, because asking you how you got 200 is a bit complicated. Bring me back to the first 50.
Yeah, I think we got them all in one go. So I had the Facebook page for about a year. And I put out a post saying I was going to charge €10. Who's interested? And I'm pretty sure I didn't even have a website. So I think the first 50 people sent me money on PayPal.
So you were just, you'd started like your own Rory's travel web,
a Facebook page. So I had a Facebook page for about a year where I kind of had a rough idea. I wanted to go down the line of doing a business and disrupting how people were booking hotels and holidays and everything else. But I kind of, obviously I was working full time and I was kind of just putting the feelers out and I enjoyed talking about travel. And at that stage, I never really was big into social media. Like my own personal, like I don't even have a personal Instagram page. My own Facebook I look at once a week if even. So I was never really big into it. But I set up a Facebook page. I was living in Brooklyn, in a place called Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. I was sharing a room with 3 other people because I couldn't afford my own room.
Lovely.
And I set up a Facebook page called Rory's Staycations. So initially we were only going to try and get people discounts on staycations. Yeah, built a fairly substantial following over the space of 6 months, but it was only...
Same idea, kind of discounts. Yeah,
that was the idea, but I wasn't charging people. So people were already benefiting and saving more than €10 before I even charged them. And then I put out that Facebook post saying, thinking of charging €10, who's in? And I think I wrote on it being like, am I wise or have I lost my mind here? I was like, I think this is a good idea, but... And a lot of stuff we do, like it's... Like social media, like I always bring it back to social media is about being social, it's about being real. And like, I'll put stuff out, I'll put the feelers out. Like if there's something that I think, just because I think it's not always right. And I tend to go on social media and I'll ask the question, I'll say, is there interest in this? Or am I losing my marbles? Like, so it's about like, I suppose what you put out, you get back.
Well, this is why I called it the entrepreneur experiment, because I believe all great entrepreneurs are experimenters. They just test and test and test and test and test, find something that works, do a little bit more, test and test and test. Like you're a testament to that.
Yeah,
you're an example of an exactual entrepreneur experiment model when I thought about, you know, great entrepreneurs of new entrepreneurs who are building in a different way. Most people, when they think I'm going to disrupt the travel industry. They'll be like, right, okay, we need to build an app and a website, and then we're going to get all this funding, and then we're going to go up against head-to-head against Booking.com.
Yeah.
And they go down in flames within, probably never even have launched the app, because too complicated.
Yeah.
How did you go down such a straightforward route?
Yeah, I suppose I was in New York. There was a company called Jack's Flight Club, really successful, really amazing company.
I've seen it. It's cool. Yeah.
They don't do too much in the Irish market, which kind of helped me as well from day one. But basically what they do is they monitor flights, and then when there's really cheap flights, they email you them, and they have the subscription model, and they've got a massive amount of customers, predominantly, as far as I'm aware, is in the States and even mainland UK. So I thought, you know what, really, really cool. And my thinking is, right, and we've come in cheaper than them, and we're going for exclusive discounts. And so it's a completely different concept.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, even now, like, I'm thinking, look at all the customers they've got, a really amazing company. And we're doing it just our way and slightly different. But if we can go exclusive discounts that are far exceeding our bill, and probably that's where I maybe got the inspiration of doing it, was from seeing these guys in America, how successful they were. The subscription model wasn't really a thing here. Like, obviously, going back 4 or 5 years ago, like, maybe you had to, like, say Netflix, maybe just kicking off. There probably wasn't many subscriptions. But we're in a unique position. And I do think that subscription businesses are, like, a small fee. Subscription businesses with massive volume is the way forward, and a lot of businesses are going to go down that route. Like, thing is, like, for example, if I had and I know you can now subscribe on, like, Instagram to your favorite, say for example, Gary Fox on Instagram, and you were charging €1 for me to watch your videos. I like your videos, I like your stuff. €1 a month is minimal. But if you have, say, if you get €12 a year for doing private content as such on Instagram or one of these apps that there is now, I know a lot of comedians are using it. If you can get massive volume and build a massive audience and give massive volume, and I think we've kind of got lucky going down the subscription route. And I kind of seen, like, I did a talk at a conference about this recently about, is email marketing dead? And just to throw a couple of numbers out there, in terms of, we send on average, you're looking at between 3 and 5 million emails a month. Our open rates are about 70% on every single email. Our click throughs, if I send an email, you're looking at on average 80,000-90,000 clicks. And people clicking obviously have intent to buy. So the power of them numbers alone suggests to me that, so, like, email marketing 1,000,000% isn't dead. And I think if I was to go down the route of having a website, my fear was similar to the likes of your Netflix. Like, my dog sitter's cat's mum's Netflix login. I think everyone is using, I don't know if anyone actually pays them or just uses someone else's.
6 degrees of Netflix. Someone 6 degrees away is paying for it.
Yeah. So I didn't want that to happen.
That's clever, actually. So you got around that by having individual emails.
So yeah. And I think obviously now we've 200,000 emails on our database that we use ActiveCampaign as our provider. Really, really good. If anyone does email marketing, we've been using them for the best part of 18 months. And yeah, we've got all our flows. Everything is automatic. You sign up on our website. I don't even see it. You're added to our mailing list. You get your welcome email. You get an email 6 months down the line. So, and obviously it's taking time to build that. But I think, like, I'm very much, for the first few years, it was all about building the best possible platform that we can. And even now, we're still in that building phase, and we're building infrastructure. And we're spending big on the infrastructure. But we know that we've got massive, massive profit margins for years to come.
What are your costs then?
Yeah, so our costs, obviously, I just got my VAT bill yesterday, which was a massive, massive number. So you're 20%, of course, in every sale.
More money, more problems, Rory.
Sorry?
More money, more problems.
Yeah, of course. But
good problems.
Thankfully, I put the price up from 10 to 12 when I did. one of my biggest regrets was not charging in sterling, as I would have made an extra euro or two on every sign up, even though I'm from County Down. And it just happened to be that most of our audience, whenever we started this, was in the south, and I charged in euro, whereas I think if I charged in sterling, I don't know whether it would have deterred people in
possibly.
The south.
Yeah, possibly.
But yeah, hey ho, we're here now. So yeah, our
you're
cost,
doing all right. Yeah,
we're happy enough. we're not even, like, it's mad that we've got to a stage where we're in a good position. We've got the money we need to launch into other markets. We've the money to hire staff. We're in a good, really, really strong position. But until, until we build the platform that I want to build. And
what do you mean when you say that?
So what I mean is, like, I think our customers are getting incredible value for money as it is. But I know in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, 9 months' time, we're going to increase the value they're getting by working with better places, negotiating better discounts, our flows, how we do things, how we present ourselves. So we're constantly evolving every aspect of our business. And if we can keep our price at 12 euro, and even if we'll even have more staff and stuff involved to get better discounts, then our output is just going to be much, much stronger, which means our members are going to benefit even more.
Are you going to stay on email?
We are, yeah. So, I suppose if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, we've 200,000 people on our mailing list. As I say, everyone checks their email. At least I assume most people listening are checking their email at least once a day. And it's something that we're giving people hopefully a reason to look forward to looking into their email. Any other company sending emails should be thanking us for sending people to the inboxes. But we want our people to be excited. So, and you can tell by, like, industry standard open rates, you're looking at between 5 and 10%, and we're at about 70.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I was chatting to a guy who owns a golf brand just before you, and we're having this conversation. A lot of theirs is done, their D2C, a lot of it's email as well. And he was just making the point of, like, it's very hard to keep coming up with new things to say in the email, whereas your whole business by nature is new every time.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, it's not that fatigue. Like, I sign up to a good few companies, and I get their emails, but I don't look forward to them. I kind of keep them on because I buy from them regularly. Whereas I'm kind of like, scan, done, because there's nothing really new. It's the same product and I just keep them because I like the company or whatever. Whereas with yours, you know, every time it's going to be different.
But that's it. Like, and it's like, we've actually the opposite. We actually, our issue is we try not to put more than 20 offers in the one email. And we've so many offers and so many great companies coming to us with really good offerings. And that's only going to get stronger.
Mm.
So sometimes if we do have a really good offer, we'll put it out 2, 3, 4 times across maybe the space of a month, the same offer. But we actually, yeah, I suppose, like, if you're say, for example, I don't know, a hardware store, like, it's going to be quite difficult to excite people about what saws you're selling that month.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going down the discount route for them. It doesn't actually work because you can't keep discounting stuff because then people will only wait for the discount. Whereas your whole model is, well, it's a discount. You know you're getting it already. Do companies then book, do people have to book through you? Like, do you have to do anything? What's your process flow like as a company?
Yeah, so essentially most hotels want you booking direct. So as I say, so if a hotel's 100 quid on a third party platform, so hotels that have the sell rooms on their own website to sell stuff on the third party platform, often it's in
a third party platform is like booking.com or something, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who of course are absolutely amazing. They're a beast and they're one of the biggest and best companies in the world.
I just use them as an example, just to give an idea of people what a platform is.
Yeah, so a third party platform is people that are selling rooms on behalf of numerous hotels. So and these platforms are typically taking 15 to 25% commission. So if you book a hotel that's 100 quid in Dublin here, around the corner, on the third party platform, that hotel might only be getting between 75 and 85 euro. So my idea is, I want to get you a route of booking that room at 75 to 85 quid, meaning the hotel's making the same amount of money. They're not paying me for marketing. And you're, so our customers always book direct with the source. So
okay, so they're going through your email and they're getting launched into the company.
Exactly. Okay. So it'll either be a discount code or it'll be booked over the phone or through a hidden link. So in terms of, like, I would describe ourselves as a marketing company. So we basically are doing the marketing on behalf of maybe 300 or 400 different brands to 200,000 consumers. And then, and the great thing is, in terms of not just in our email where we have 200,000 people, across our socials where we have 600,000-700,000, if you were to go and pay a traditional influencer or someone with influence to promote a hotel to an audience that size, you could be a grand a post or whatever people decide to pay or to charge. Whereas with us, we don't charge them anything. So we're basically posting, we're showcasing their hotel, we're creating content for their hotel, we're talking about it, and we can actually... So I say, for example, you work for a cruise company doing marketing, or you work for a hotel, you work for an attractions place. So my first question to you would be, what's your pain points? And you'll say, yeah, next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we've whatever you have, a lot of availability. And I'll say, see you next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where you're not going to sell 20-25% of your stock, whatever it is you're selling. I'll say, instead of being 100 quid, if you can give it to us for 70, we'll sell it for you.
Yeah.
And obviously half a loaf, well, 7/10 of a loaf is better than no bread, as they say. So
it's a compelling story, Rory.
Yeah, well, it's, I suppose we're doing the marketing, we're able to target pain points, which every company will have. So yeah, we're doing God's work, as they say.
You literally are. You're doing the hotel God's work anyway.
Yeah, well, like, there's hotels there. Like, we've plenty of offers that we've put out once in an email, or maybe twice in some cases, and the hotels have done 100,000 in revenue from
one. What are they saying back to you, though? Because, like, there's almost like, yeah, well, I can't remember what movie it's from. It's like, what's the catch?
Yeah.
You know, it's what are they saying back when this happens? Are they like, we need to do more of this, Rory?
They definitely should be.
Are they not?
A lot of them do, yeah. And a lot of them are putting stuff out now almost every week or every couple of weeks. And we can obviously pick and choose. So in terms of, if you're a 5-star property coming to us with 20% off, is a bit more exciting than a 3-star property coming with 20% off. So we can pick and choose, and we do a decent amount, and we're trying to kind of position ourselves in that luxury market. But then for staycations, but whenever it comes to like family holidays, for example, or if you're looking at cruises, or if you're looking at long haul, like, we've stuff there for absolutely everyone. Like, I'll give you an example. One travel agent we work with, I got an email yesterday, and last month we did $350,000 of bookings through, and that's just one out of, we work with maybe out of the top 10-15 travel agents in the country, we work with about half of them. So we work with, and then we're obviously working with hotels, and we're working with attractions. So we're sending a considerable amount of business to all our partners. But the way I look at it, and anyone maybe that's working in travel that potentially would want to work with us, is the more members we have, the bookings we're getting now is good, of course. But in 6 months' time, when we have another 30, 40, 50,000 members, then we're going to get them even more volume. So
it's more leverage for you. The more people that sign up, it's more leverage, it's more compelling for the provider, the better providers you get.
Yeah, and that's it. And like, if you look at it, like, I estimate most hotels in Ireland are operating, and let's just say hotels, even airlines, even cruise, kind of depending on the brand and time of year. But most travel companies, I'd say, would be delighted if they were at 90% occupancy 12 months a year. Most, not all, of course. But that's 10% is still a massive amount, considering, depending on what you do. But 10%, if you're a hotel with 300 bedrooms and you're operating at 90%, you're leaving 30 bedrooms empty every single night.
That's huge revenue. Like you said earlier, you're not really getting any hotels for 100, 150 quid a night in Ireland anymore.
Yeah.
So that's massive revenue. And once it's gone.
Well, yeah, it's perishable. But in terms of, yeah, like, where some of the offers work, and of course we do negotiate hard for our members, because of course we've got their best interest at heart. Of course we want to work with the hotel, and we want to bring them bookings, or we want to work with travel company, but we really have our members, and we do negotiate quite hard in terms of getting them the best possible price, because at the end of the day, they're the ones paying us. It's not the, the travel company. And I know that like we're in a really good position because we've got the feedback. I'm being mentored, I'm being taught, I'm listening to the biggest and best people in this industry who, of course, if I'm getting results for, they're more willing to help me.
Of course.
I pat that kind of, you pat my back, I pat yours. And like, I've got some amazing people around me that are really, really supportive. And like, I'll never forget it. About 2.5 years ago, I met up with a hotelier, really liked the concept. And he said to me, he goes, see, if you don't charge your partners, you're laughing the whole way. He said, the key is if you don't charge no fees, no commission, and you're able to put these offers out. So say, for example, like in this space, of course, you've got the companies in kind of deal space in travel, like if you're Groupon, Pig's Back, massive, massive companies, worldwide companies who we all know and many, many people listening have probably used. But the offers on these platforms over the years, in my opinion, were absolutely, they're amazing value for the consumer. But the issue is that these brands are then taking on average 15% commission on top of that off the hotel. So a lot of luxury hotels and luxury product maybe didn't want to associate with them because it was cheapening their brand.
Yes, I get you.
And so say, for example, you see on one of these sites, I don't know, a hotel in Dublin that's €100 on a Friday night, you're like, wow, that's amazing. And it is amazing. And then there might be a lot of people book it, brilliant. But the real kick in the teeth to the hotel is they're actually only making 85, which is not where they need to be. Whereas on our platform, we're able to say, right, see the €100, the consumer's still getting absolutely amazing value, but you're not being hit with the extra commission. So it's much more advantageous for the hotelier to work with us in that scenario.
I get you. Because I think, yeah, a lot of them, like they killed a lot of businesses. I remember there was a pizzeria in Dublin, did a Groupon offer and it shut them down.
Oh, really?
They did it at such a low discount that they sold a couple of thousand pizzas and it bankrupted them because they'd sold it below cost and then they had the fee from whoever it was, provider, and it just shut the doors because people were desperate. And it quickly became this thing of like, oh, they're on that platform, can't be doing very well.
Yeah, well, and that is true. And something that we do, and probably one of the smartest things I did was, of course, if we promote one of our offers on social media, it kind of drums up a bit of interest. People tag their brother, sister, cousin, wife, husband, whoever it is, and then they decide,
should head away to this. This looks great.
They wait on the email. But I give especially luxury product, I say to them, look, if you only want to go on our email, that's absolutely fine. Because some of them won't want to be seen as discounting on social media, and because we've got a closed user group. So I'm in a position to say, look, we can put you on our social media, which a lot of 5-star hotels don't want to be seen as discounting. So I'll say,
yeah, that's fair. You don't want to piss off their existing clients either, or do that Pavlov's dog thing whereby people will just wait for a discount. I think that's a killer for a lot of brands.
Yeah, and a lot of our people know that it is. So we're doing that, and I think we've done really well in terms of, like, as far as I remember, there was no platform that was doing discounts on luxury product, the amount of kind of 5-star and even high-end 4-star hotels that would never have discounted or never needed to discount with external companies before. Like, we're kind of doing that, and we're doing it all under the one umbrella, which is Rory's Travel Club. Our thing is the €12. Obviously, we've got staycations, which most people, well, quite a few people, especially listening here, will go to hotels a couple of times a year, maybe more, maybe less. We do international holidays, we do cruises, we do family holidays, and then now we've even added attractions. Even the way I look at it is, some people may not be going away for the next 6 months, so they may have their holiday booked, or there may be a family that maybe just want to take their children out for the day, and if they can go and save €30 on their tickets. An example, actually, somewhere we actually just got on board there a couple of days ago, the World of Illusions in Dublin.
Never heard of it.
Have you ever seen these abroad where it's like...
Someone did tell me about this, I think. Is that down on College Green there?
I assume it probably is down that way somewhere. Yeah. So we've got like 25% off there.
I think I know the guys behind that actually.
So if a family go there, they're going to save, say it's 50 quid for their tickets. They might get €12.50 off. Mm. So we're trying to get discounts across numerous things. Like even there this year, for example, we had four buses go to the Ireland and Wales Six Nations match in Cardiff. We had 200 people. We had 200 tickets for that.
That's cool, isn't it?
So
is there offshoot products for you here as you're talking? Like, is there like a Rory Sport Club? Is there a Rory VIP Club? Is there offshoot products here?
Potentially. And the thing is, we don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul in terms of like, if I was to go and do like another €12 for VIP or five star, like we're very much, we don't need to, like what we're doing now works. We're just going to make that better and then make it better again and then better again. And if we can do that and keep the price the same and give our customers maximum value. And it is like, I'm very much like thankfully, like I don't have my hands tied and I haven't taken any investment. I don't plan on taking any investment. I've bootstrapped this from day one. So I think if I had external forces looking over me and looking more money and more pressure, whereas like I'm in a fortunate position, I'm making more money than, not in a bad way, probably sound bad saying this, but like I'm making more money than I need. Well, not, maybe it's not bad to say it. It's the truth. I'm making more money than I would in a normal full time job. So if I can do that and improve our service and improve our output, and obviously, inevitably, our sales and our turnover and our profits are going to increase, then I'm going to be in a good position going forward.
Man of the people.
Think so?
I think you're going to like get elected for the doll or something next, the way you're going on. That's impressive. Yeah, no, because as you were saying, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But then I was like, oh, actually, yeah, because if you have one kind of catch-all thing, like I think the sport one is interesting. Yeah, I've noticed like your sport offering is kind of coming on as well. That's like, it's a huge volume of work. How many people work there now?
There's 10 of us.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, so there's 10 of us now full-time. We will hire again. We're going to hire four people for Scotland in most likely July. And then we're going to launch into Scotland in September. The website's already being made at the minute. So really, really exciting. And we're in a really strong position going into Scotland because a lot of these contacts, it's the same people.
Oh, so really?
A lot of sales and marketing managers or revenue managers in travel are looking after the UK, especially for the big, massive worldwide brands. A lot of these people are looking after the UK and Ireland.
Amazing. So you've already the network built.
I've got all the, and another great example, when I go to hotels, so we work with the Slieve Donard, it's a 5-star hotel in Newcastle, and they're owned by a company called Marine and Lawn, who own, I think they have 4 or 5 of the top 5-star hotels in Scotland. And the same guy who I deal with here for their 5-star in Northern Ireland, who we've got massive results for in the past, he just says, as soon as you come into Scotland, lift the phone. And I've got the 5-star hotel on St Andrews and whatever, the 3 or 4 other like really high-end, top-class golf courses that he's going to do a discount for our members with. So
I'm going to ask you like a whole travel tip section towards the end. So if you are listening, we're going to do a whole, I'm going to go deep on travel tips from Rory at the end. So stay listening. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about business before we get there. You said 1 million members, right?
Yep.
What do you want? And we're sitting down here in 5 years. I'd be confident you'll have hit 1 million members. But what do you want overall from this? Like, you're very happy-go-lucky, you set it up quite kind of, you know, frugally, and you've bootstrapped it. You know, when we're doing an updated episode of this in 5 years' time, what will you want to have happened?
Yeah, I suppose it. I'm very much, I've got the goal of 1 million customers. And see, to be honest, once I get there, am I going to be happier? Am I going to be a better person? Probably not.
At least you know that, though. Most people find that out too late.
It could be, and the target could be 2 million once I get there.
It will be, yeah.
But I know you said 5 years. I believe it won't take 5 years to get to 1 million customers. It'll take much less than that. And we're doing smart things to ensure that is the case. For example, we're working now with a lot of corporates here signing up. Like even here in Ireland, we have the likes of your, like I was down in Free Mobile in Limerick a couple of weeks ago. They signed up 350 staff in one go. We had the likes of Aviva Insurance here in Dublin signed up their whole team, which was about 200, as far as I remember. Options Technology up in Belfast, again, 200, 250 staff.
That is clever.
So we're getting a lot of corporates. Like, if you think of it, if you're a corporate with 200 staff, you're obviously a sizable business doing very, very well. And if I come to you and say, right, it's going to be $2,000 for a year to give your staff this great perk where they're going to enjoy, obviously, like, it obviously helps increase work-life balance, the team morale where they're coming in talking about the offers. Like, I suppose corporate gifting, like, we've all been given mugs or we've been given just silly stuff.
We're all over that crap. I don't want another water bottle.
Whereas, yeah, exactly. Whereas for the sake of, if you're a company with 200 employees and it's $2,000, you sign them all up in one go, and twice a week they get emails with really good offers, and they remember, that was my boss signed me up. Fair play to him. And for the sake of a tenner a head per person. So,
do you know what we'll do? We'll do an entrepreneur experiment hotel break at some stage.
That would be brilliant.
That'd be cool. Listeners can come. We'll get a deal through you. We'll get all signed up to the newsletter. We'll do 908. That'd be cool to get everyone together in a hotel for a night. That'd be class.
Yeah, I actually just had a message literally minutes before I come on here with Agado Heights in Killarney. Beautiful five-star hotel overlooking the most beautiful scenery, lovely pools, spa, food, everything.
That sounds like it. We're a five-star pod. Yeah, that sounds like it.
That could be a good one.
That suits my notions. That's cool. This is a mad story, Rory. I'm really enjoying this. This is like a really refreshing, because I love stories like this. People who just start, just get on with it, build something quite straightforward and simple and don't overcomplicate it. At what point, because you've kind of shed a little bit of light on the early stages, and I've literally written down massive volume in capital letters here. That's not something people talk about really in Ireland, because we don't have massive volume.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you know that that was the right play? Because usually people go the other way, going, right, I'm a small country, I'll charge a premium amount but get a small amount of members.
Yeah, see, to be honest, whenever I set this up, if I could have done $70,000 a year, that was more than my salary at the time, I would have been winning, which is only 7,000 people.
That's still a lot, though.
I don't think 7,000 people, like, we're at the stage now, like, I know if I wanted to go and get 7,000 people in the next 2 days, I know where to get them. I know how to get them.
Where? So, how? Give us, people are listening to this going, Rory, I'd burn down my house for 7,000 members of my anything.
Yeah.
Let's give people a bit of a playbook here. Let's give them the Rory playbook of, if they're listening, they don't even have to be in a related business. I want them to put their subscription hat on here and go, right, Rory's going to get you 7,000 members to X. What do we do?
Yeah. And the way I look at it, for obviously every business is completely different, but the way I look at it is, if I can get people to purchase, and even if we only break even next year, obviously our retention you're looking at is between kind of, it's in around 85% to 90%. So I know, for example, if I went out today and spent $5,000 on marketing and got $6,000 back, which I could do very easily, and I've done it on many days.
So is the playbook ads?
Yeah, it's getting customers in the door for that first time purchase, knowing the fact that we're going to keep 90% of them next year if we keep them happy. So, like, I very much, if I could go right now and spend $100,000 and do $120,000 of sales, then I know next year I don't have to spend that $100,000, and I'm going to do 80-90 grand profit.
You let compounding take over. But for people who are starting from scratch here and they're listening, going, right, Rory, I want to do this. I want to get new members or new customers, whatever. What's the Rory model? Is it Facebook ads, Meta ads, Google ads? What is it?
All of the above. You need to be present in as many places. Like, you need to be seen, you need to be heard, you need to be adding value, you need to be insightful. And probably the most important thing is you need to be open and honest with the people that are going to buy from you. I always say, if you're selling anything, if you can sell it, whether it's advice, whether it's a physical good, whether it's a subscription, if what you're selling far exceeds the price you're selling it at, then you've got a decent business. If not, and your margins are tighter and tighter and tighter, then to do volume, you're going to struggle.
Okay, so they need to be looking at what they're offering is first, and then they need to be looking at running ads across all the available platforms they can.
Yeah, I give you an example, and it's very much like I was big into sport growing up. I very much win at all costs, like in terms of I like to think I'm a winner at everything. Even if I enter a competition and don't win, I believe I should win, I'll not enter the next year. I'm that guy. And winning
now we're seeing a bit of edge. See, this is the nice guy persona I wanted you to drop. And now I want to see how a killer operates.
No,
come on.
But winning competitions don't mean much to me. But like, I'm sure plenty of people will agree. They've been in competitions. They've been in business awards or whatever, and they know that they should have won, or they think they should have won, and the results went against them. I'm very much at the stage now. Like we only enter maybe one or two competitions a year, and if I don't win and I think I should, there's no way I'm going back there next year. So I know I'm a winner in every single thing that I do. I put my heart in, and even the most recent thing I did enter, we got beat, and we got beat by a bigger and better company, and I went over and said to the lads, absolutely well done, you deserve like 1 million. So I'm man enough to say yes. Like I know, of course, there's a lot of people, of course, that are miles ahead of us, but in terms of I'm a winner in every aspect. I know everything I do, I do full heartedly. Everything I do for a reason. Like for example, I kind of mentioned this off air. Every day, anyone listening, actually in business or in marketing or whatever, something that I came across and it's really, really worked for me over the years is every day a non-negotiable for me is I do 10 bullet points of 10 things that I want to get done that day, no matter how big or small they are. And I believe, and I won't go to bed if I don't get them 10 things done.
Really?
And if I can get 10 things done a day, which is, and I work 7 days a week, if I can get 70 things done in a week and over the space of a year, yeah, you're looking at, and that's 70 positive actions that is going to make my business better every single week. Then I know that compounds the compounding effect over the weeks and months ahead is we're only inevitably going to grow something really, really good.
Okay, I'm a productivity nerd. I'll bite on that. 10 points. How do you pick what's important?
So in terms of, I'll have 10 things to do in a day. And I'll just get them all done, no matter what they are, if they're big or small. Sometimes.
But how do you weight them, right? They can't all be 10 massive things. Like, so how do you weight them?
Oh, yeah. So in terms of the stuff that's most difficult, I get done first. Or the stuff that's most urgent will be the first things that I'll do. Like some of the things on my list might only be reply to Facebook comments. And whether I reply to 10 of them, like we could have 400 comments in a day. If I reply to 10 of them, I reply to 400, which I never do. I probably should. Like that'll be way down the list. But depending on any given day, I want to make sure I do 10 positive actions that moves my business in the right way. And them 10 actions might only take, like a lot of them actions might only take 10 minutes. Some of them might take an hour. So, and some of the days you've the list done at lunchtime. Some of them you don't.
Okay.
But I'll not go to sleep without knowing that we've done 10 things that have kind of pushed that needle a little bit further in the direction we want to go.
Okay. It's volume. Again, yeah. Massive volume. This is kind of the theme. Rory's ethos is massive volume.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, and I think we're lucky we've built a fairly decent following, but it wasn't always that way. And I always give this example. So anyone listening, like in terms of going to the extreme. So have you ever came across Kulka, the boardwalk Stairway to Heaven in Fermanagh?
Oh, I've seen it. I've never been there. I've seen it online.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Instagram photos look unreal.
So about 6-7 months in, I took my whiteboard that I use in the office, and I brought it, climbed up a mountain with a whiteboard, like a full-size whiteboard that you would see in a classroom, and I wrote on it. So my thinking was, if a couple go for a hike, like they want to get a photo taken because that's why they go for the hike in the first place, a lot of couples. So, and it's that awkward moment where they have to ask someone and they have a little silly haha, and then people take the photo and away they go. So I wrote on a whiteboard, and I have photos of this stills in. On the whiteboard I wrote, inexperienced photographer willing to take your photo for a 30-second chat about my new business. And I stood there with a whiteboard, and I took I say I must have took about 200 photos that day and spoke to about 2 or 3. And these are people that I could bump into them in Cork tomorrow and they'll tell me, geez, I met you up the mountain.
That's so random. Where'd that idea come from?
Just win at all costs. Let's speak to people. Let's do something a little bit different. Guerrilla marketing. I was a firm believer in at the start. We don't do much of it now because I suppose we don't really need to. I think a lot of guerrilla marketing, you have to be controversial or on the edge. Whereas, and it kind of brings it back to, like, we've 900,000, touching on 1 million people across all our platforms. If 1% of them don't like what you do or are easily offended, that's 10,000 people we have to deal with, which we don't want to. So we don't do as much guerrilla. We don't need to. So we know our place now. Our place is to get people discounts, to inspire people to travel, and to make sure that they get the best price and the best value for money.
Did you ever feel awkward? Like, you seem like a real natural salesperson just chatting to you. You seem like you have a real... Does that come from experience or does that come from really low? Because I can tell you're just so passionate about what you do. Like, what is it, or is it all of them?
All of them. So, to be honest, I was fairly lucky. I spent the best part of 10 years traveling the world. I lived in Fiji for a year. I spent 6 months on an island and I didn't see a white person once.
I saw this story. I think it must have been your Instagram. It was so random.
Yeah. So I love speaking to people. I love engaging with people. I love listening. I think I have a really, really exciting story, and there's no point having an exciting story and not telling anyone. So, and I think we're doing amazing work. So I want people to know, if you think about it, the following we have here in Ireland, like, you're looking at 1 in every 7, I'd estimate 1 in every 20 people in Ireland definitely know who I am and what we're up to, which is a mad amount of people. I'm just happy-go-lucky lad that's online just trying to get people cheap holidays. I don't see myself as this big business person, or I take my work very serious, and I spend massive hours, and I'm obsessed with growth, and I'm obsessed with getting better and improvements. But other than that, life, you've only one go at it. I suppose very much like if I went to a conference, I'd be sitting here I don't need to pretend I'm someone I'm not. I always use this as an example, and this might be something to even if you have children, anyone listening. I failed one subject in school. Guess what it was?
Geography.
Business studies.
No way.
Yeah, when I was 16, so GCSE, equivalent of the Leaving Cert. And why I failed it was I went to a Gaelic football match instead of the day. So there's 50% coursework, 50% exam. The day that we had the coursework, I went to a football match and played football for the year above. And I got 0 out of 50. Failed business studies. Anyway, I went to a grammar school, really, really good school. But I was never overly academic. I was always curious. Like, if the teacher had asked, who wants to read out loud? I could have read all day. I would have read all week. Who wants to drop a note to the classroom at the other side of the school? I'd be like, that sounds like a bit of me. But when it came to reading, I know you'll probably ask the question about books later. I am a big fan, and I listen to a lot of these podcasts that you do. But when it comes to reading, I'm not a massive reader. And in terms of...
Where do you get your ideas? Podcasts?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I suppose... I listen to our customers, the most important people to listen to. I listen to them, what they want. We send out feedback forums. We ask the question, what can we do? What do you want? Mm. We ask it regularly and then we just do it. But so I failed one GCSE business studies in the grammar school. I then went to a different school because I wanted to be a PE teacher, and the grammar school didn't do PE as the subject for the equivalent of the Leaving Cert. So I went to another school. Anyway, did that, went, studied, did sports science, got my degree, whatever, decided I didn't want to be a teacher. But the funny thing is, last year I was invited back to the school that I failed business studies in to talk about business. So I got up on stage in front of 100 people in that year, and grand, happy enough, chatted about it. It was really, really, I was delighted to do it, and really, really interesting, great to be invited back. But I kind of felt a bit bizarre. So I was up kind of giving them an insight on business, knowing that when I was their age, I failed. And so I failed. And the weirdest thing was that evening, I then went and did a guest lecture for business studies master students at UCC. And there's me thinking, I failed business at 16 in school, or failed business studies. I never studied it. And there's me giving a presentation to UCC master students, one of the obviously most well-known colleges here in Ireland. Mm. So like when it comes to it, like I'm a firm believer, and I'm sure a lot of people, and I'm listening to a couple of people on your podcast, will agree, like academia in the whole, like a lot of the people that do make it and go the whole way to the top were never the kind of brightest kid in the classroom. They're maybe the most curious kid or the most willing to work, which I would be in that. So I was kind of middle of the road, didn't get the best grades. But when it comes to doing stuff and executing stuff, I'm at a stage where I think you need to be, like, you need to be obsessed to go and get 200,000 customers. Like, you need to be obsessed. Otherwise, you're gonna fail at 5,000. So I very much, I suppose when it comes to, as I say, academia, it wasn't the best in school. All I cared about was playing football. Played senior football at 15.
I think what's important, though, is that people like you do go back. That's what I believe anyway. I say this in the pod all the time. You have to see it to be it. I believe that with every fibre of my being. People have to see, the young Rory in that class has to look up on the stage and go, there I am. Yeah. That's me. I understand. I now understand how I am. If one person in that class goes, yeah, what he's saying, that's how I feel. That's how I believe I am. I think that's just unbelievably good to show people that entrepreneurship is a route. You don't have to be academic. Like you don't have to be. Like there's no one way. And that's why I love having such a broad mix of people. And I'm very careful about who I bring on, because like I don't want to platform people that just give out kind of nonsense knowledge and kind of like fake it. But I think it's so important that people listen and see people like you and go, yeah, that's just like me.
Yeah.
In the future, I could do that. Like, whereas, you know, it's always like, oh, doctor, lawyer, nurse, policeman, whatever. Like there's a million different things you can be. I think a lot of people don't feel comfortable where they are.
Yeah. And like, I've a completely different perspective than probably a lot of business people, maybe listening or that you've interviewed before, in terms of, like I'm very much like, I don't see, of course, people might look at the outside into different business people and say, oh, he's successful, he earns 500,000 a year. But for me, success, like my goal in life is to visit every country in the world. It's not to make 10 million quid, which we possibly will. And the thing is, if you had said to me, Roy, you're gonna die in 5 years' time, do you want 10 million quid or do you want to visit every country in the world?
Yeah.
I'd go to every country in the world.
I think if most people are honest, that's what they'd want.
Yeah.
But so, I think not enough people, Rory, are self-aware enough like you are to go, that's actually what I really want.
Yeah.
I want the money to do the thing. But I think a lot of people forget, you can do the thing without all the money.
Exactly.
You can chip away and chip away. You can go on Ryanair flights. You know, like, if you put off till tomorrow, what you could do today, you might never get that tomorrow. How many countries do you reckon you visited?
Geez, I'm about 70, 75.
Okay.
So
how many countries in the world now?
195.
Okay, so you're well on the way.
Well on the way, yeah. So my goal is, always has been, to visit every country in the world. I took notes of this quite a bit as I travelled over the years, thinking, like, I reckon you could visit every country in the world on about €120,000. And if you think about it, if anyone listening, like, that's not a massive amount of money for that experience. It might take you the best part of 2.5-3 years to do, but on €120,000, and a lot of people maybe in their 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe they don't have children to leave a house to and they own a house, I'd recommend selling the house and going to every country in the world, as opposed to
that's your next product.
Sorry?
The Rory round the world trip.
Yeah,
that's the next product.
Yeah,
120k, you reckon?
I'd say you could, yeah. You wouldn't be a million miles off it, maybe a little bit more, but and that's kind of, and that was like, there was one stage where I was kind of saving and I was thinking, right, I'm gonna get myself to the 120k. I don't want to buy a house, I don't need a house, I want to visit every country in the world. Like people listening here, if it comes to it, like, of course, owning the house and stability, of course, there's, these things are, of course, are really, really important. But in terms of, like, I asked myself, would I rather own here in Dublin probably a quarter of a house or visit every country in the world? And whenever you put it to that extreme, or even if it's only visit 60, 70 countries where you're 120 grand, like, it's like life is for living. Like, and I'm very much, of course, I'm in a fortunate position, as I keep bringing it back to, is I don't have anyone over me. I'm a free spirit. Like, I'm not VC backed. I haven't took a penny of anyone's money. I own 100% of Rory's Travel Club. If I want to tomorrow, I could go and visit every country in the world and get someone to run this business for me. Like, I'm in a really, really good position. But until, as I say, a million, and I know you asked me earlier, once I get a million customers, what will I do? And the answer is, genuinely, I don't know.
It's such a cliche, oh, I'm living the dream, but you kind of are, in the fact that, like, you can probably do your number one goal in the world to visit every country. You can do that through what you're doing.
Exactly.
Your business is the vehicle to give you the freedom.
Exactly. And I'm being paid to do it. And like every founder, I'm sure they'll tell you, especially I'm less than 5 years in, like, it is extremely stressful. Like, and I do same as everyone. Like, I put myself to the limit. Like, and I say it's from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, all I think about is Rory's Travel Club. I wake up some nights in the middle of the night and I'm checking emails. Like, I am just completely obsessed. And that's why we've got to this level, and that's why we're going to go up to another level and keep going up. And like, as I say, I think we've a decent service now, which a lot of people, we've got a massive audience who love what we do. But if you think, if we're going to keep increasing the value that they're getting for their €12, and we're going to keep increasing our customers, and then we're going to go into the UK, and we're going to build one hell of a bit. We already have a fairly, like, and I very much, because I'm kind of in unknown, like, I've never set up a business before, so I don't really know, I've nothing to really compare myself against as to how well or how not so well we're doing. But I just see that, and like, I know that it's a massive amount of money where we're going, and I'm extremely fortunate that I'm in a place that we potentially will get to a million customers, which a lot of people maybe less than aren't. But what I want to say is, the people, like, when I get to a million customers, am I going to be any happier? And am I going to be any different? And a lot of people, and this is kind of, I've spoken a lot of different business things, and of course, it's great to be a founder, it's great to be an owner, and like, I'm really proud of what I do. But there's a lot of people there listening, maybe that are working, and they're getting they're working and they're earning maybe 40, 50, 60 grand a year, and they're able to switch off on a Friday and live whatever life, and they're able to get their couple of holidays a year and their pints and whatever they want and whatever they need. And I think that is just as successful, and that is just as good, and as maybe if they were to go and set up a business and be stressed for 2 or 3 years, it might never work.
Do you look after your body and your brain?
Body, not so much. Brain, again, not so much. Probably should do more. Definitely should do more. The last time I seen you, I was telling you about this Oura ring. I know, like, there's so many people asking about anyone that sees me with it, because I think it's fairly new here in Ireland, and not many people are wearing them yet. But yeah, I find it really, really helpful. I think data is king to everything that I do in business and now in life. So I am looking at putting a bit more time and effort into one, exercise, switching off, and having this here, it gives me all my stats in terms of my sleep, recovery, stress, heart rate, steps, everything. So yeah,
knowledge is power.
Pardon?
Knowledge is power.
It is, yeah. And again, I come from playing sport 5, 6, 7 days a week, whereas now 7 days a week, I'm just always on. And like, as I said there earlier, I spent, I did a week in Sri Lanka. I did a lot of tours, visited a lot of really cool places. I spent a lot of that time talking to our customers, helping our customers, engaging, and I still managed to average 14 hours a day on my phone, which is over 100
hours.
That's
intense, man.
Yeah, but that's what I know. It's what I want to do.
Okay.
I'm not complaining about it. In fact, I'm proud of it. It's what I want to do. I think Rory's Travel Club where we are now and where we're going to go. Like I suppose I know where we're going to go. I know how to get there, and I'm really, really excited about it. And until we get there, like, I'm not going to rest easy. There's no point me resting and going, right, with 200,000 customers, I'm making a decent life here. That's me. I'm happy enough. That's not the type of person I am. As I say, until I get to 1 million customers and have a really, 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 until we're giving our customers the maximum amount of value that we can potentially give them, then I'll not be happy. And
when you travel, do you enjoy it anymore?
I do. Yeah. I like to see new places. I like to meet the locals. I like the culture. The way I travel now is completely different to how I traveled maybe in my 20s, which most people probably are the same. Whenever I traveled when I was younger, I would go to a town or city and I'd want to visit the 20 top places. Whereas now, a lot of the time, I'm just happy to be there. Of course, if I go to the likes of Japan, I'd want to see Mount Fuji. Like, the top places, like, you make an effort to go to. But other than that, I'm happy just to walk around, ponder around, find a coffee shop, meet a few locals, go for a pint, get a bite to eat. Whereas before, when I traveled, I was very much, right, let's go and do absolutely everything. But anywhere I go, like, my laptop's with me, no matter where I go. I think I'm fairly sure someday that I will be able to take a step back. But I've probably dedicated the last 4 years of my life to this. It's not a pity party. I have a good life outside of it, and this is what I want to do. But I think a lot of people think that being a business owner, being a founder, it's seen as like sexy or cool or whatever, but people don't realize the massive amount of hours you need to put in to make something happen. And like, it sounds a bit silly, like, and it's like, fortunately, I'm able to say this now. Like, I've done probably every job, so there's been plenty of times like I've been absolutely skint, and I know what it feels like. But earning more money, like, I think earning more money doesn't necessarily add to happiness. And a lot of people, kind of similar to what I touched on earlier, is people see status as being successful, whereas I argue the opposite. I think being successful is being happy. Of course, like, it's good to strive to make more money and live a better life and whatever. But I think in Ireland, there's a lot of people that are doing absolutely amazing at what they do. They're earning a good living and they're still stressing over the small things.
Are you happy?
Am I happy? I am, yeah. Like, I would say, yeah, I'm happy. I'm living a life that I probably didn't expect to be living, but I am enjoying the journey and I'm really proud. And of course, I know you'd asked me earlier, but every time you get a booking, like, whenever I started, the buzz I got of every booking, whereas now we could have 700 people booking and saving every single day through Rory's Travel Club. So in terms of, am I happy? I am. Am I proud? I'm extremely proud of what I've done, or what I'm doing, sorry. But I'm just driven until we get to that next level. And I think it's a good place to be. I think no business should want to be stagnant. No business should want to be, I'm very much, the day that I'm content that this is me, I'm not going to try and improve it, is the day that I walk away. And I think every business owner should be constantly, no matter what line of business you're in. And again, anyone listening, who am I to say this? I didn't study business. I'm not some self-proclaimed business guru or nerd. This is just my opinion. So just because I'm saying it doesn't mean that it's factually correct, and it doesn't mean that it's advice you should, like, everyone's living their own story. Everyone's doing their own thing. So I think it's important to point out, and even from podcasts that I listen to, there's a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am that are giving advice that I don't agree with.
Advice is dangerous. You have to be very careful as to who you take it from, because generally it's from their perspective. So you have to, like, take little bits of it and apply it to yourself.
Big time.
Right, this is the travel special, right? Let's go deep. We've got a couple of minutes before the quick fire round. Where's the most unique place you visited?
Beirut, Lebanon.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful country.
I've been there. It's amazing.
Paris of the Middle East. I lived with a couple of lads in Cyprus who kept talking about it and talking about it. And I was like, not a chance. Like, because here in Ireland, like, if something's awful, you'll compare it to Beirut. These guys were telling me how amazing it was. And I thankfully took the flight and couldn't believe it. I'd say there's just as much money in Beirut as there is in Dubai.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of money. Yeah, it's gone through a lot of turmoil in the last couple of years. Well, it has a really checkered history, but yeah, a fascinating country. I can't, everyone asks me, oh, what's your favorite episode? And I can never answer that question. So I'm not going to ask you for your favorite hotel. But like, what are a couple of hotels that like you love going to? If you're like, oh, I'm going to treat myself now, it's my birthday or it's my partner's birthday. Where do you love going to?
Yeah, here in Ireland, I love the Slieve Donard. It's not too far from where I'm from. The hot tub has the most beautiful views of the Mourne Mountains. So big fan of the Slieve Donard. Heading into the south, I think here in Ireland, in terms of hospitality, hotels, we're absolutely spoilt. There's so many amazing hotels. And the Irish hospitality, once you walk in the door of 99% of them, the welcome you get, the food, the level of food in Ireland is absolutely amazing.
Stop dodging the question now. But give me some specifics.
I'm just thinking offhand. I like Fota Island down in Cork.
Okay.
I think really, really chilled out place. I'm a big fan. There's one weirdly, because I see so many hotels, Fota Island just pops into mind because the reception area just smells absolutely amazing. I don't know, they have some signature scent, because I remember asking the guys about it. And just whenever I walk in, just that smell, you're like, yeah, this place is
it's amazing.
Is really
the power
good.
Of scent where it can bring you. And Mount Juliet is spectacular, and they had just this amazing scent. And then you go to the Middle East, and all the hotels are just so scented. You're like, this is amazing. Just activates something in you. What's one country or destination that's really overrated and one that's really underrated?
Underrated is Sri Lanka. I was there last week.
Recency bias.
No, it genuinely is. Like, I even posted this on my own social media. Like, over the last couple of months, over the last year, I've been in India, the Maldives, Dubai, and Sri Lanka beats them all. Absolutely beautiful country, beautiful people, and there's something for everyone. So Sri Lanka is definitely the most underrated. In terms of overrated, Spain.
Controversial.
Beautiful country, beautiful people, but it sickens me a little bit because so many, not Spain in a whole, possibly not, but so many Irish people that are going to, they're like your Puerto de Carmen, your Lanzarote's, and just going and sitting in an Irish bar for a week, and that just, like, each to their own.
You're triggering a lot of people now. I don't think people like that listen to this podcast, so I think you're okay, but I get what you mean.
Yeah,
it seems a bit pointless when you could do the same, just stay at home then.
Yeah, Spain is absolutely beautiful, and of course, for whatever reason, I haven't actually spent too much time in Spain either, but I always say instead of going to Spain, go to Croatia. It's a little bit cheaper and much more to see and do.
What's your travel hack? Because obviously you travel so much. I love TikToks, the one travel hack I love. So what's your couple of travel hacks?
Yeah, the most important thing in travel is to be flexible with your dates. Quick example is you're looking to fly this day next month with Emirates to Dubai, and it could be 600 quid for the flight, return, whatever. The next day, you could fly the day after, it could be 450. The following day, it could be 900. So if you're dead set on a specific date, you're not going to get the best value. Same as hotels. So you could look at Jimmy's Hotel, wherever it is, in Dublin, and on a Friday night, it could be €140. On the Saturday night, it could be 280. And then the Sunday night, it could be 160. But the following week, the Saturday night, because they don't have a wedding or they don't have a function, it might only be 140. So being flexible is the number one key to getting the best value. Other travel hacks, there's so many. It's knowing when to book. A really simple one is anyone listening that maybe does a bit of business outside of Europe, if it is a specific airline that you like using. So I know a lot of people will fly the likes of Aer Lingus to North America, or they might fly with Emirates or Etihad if they're going to the Middle East, or even Qatar. If there is a specific airline that you like, by signing up to their newsletter, you're going to be the first one to know about what offers they have and what's coming up, which it can be extremely useful in terms of, like, I'm signed up to all the airlines that we use. So anytime there's a sale, even if it's Lufthansa or if it's Qatar or Turkish, so I'd always recommend signing up to the newsletter of the airline you like, because again, if the value's in the email, if you like what you see, you'll be able to work that out in 2 seconds. If not, you just click it and they might email you again in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. So where's number one on your list? Where's somewhere you haven't been you really want to go?
Yeah, I'm going to say Alaska. The reason being is we've actually 60 people there on a group trip at the minute, and the photos look absolutely amazing. So it's paining me. Hello, it is brilliant to be here, of course. But yeah, the guys are paining me with the photos all morning.
That does look cool, to be fair.
Enterprise Ireland helps to support and fund a vibrant startup ecosystem, providing supports, insights, and network connections to the most ambitious Irish startups. From expert advice to raising funding, exploring opportunities in international markets, to strategic planning, Enterprise Ireland is here to support you in those important startup moments. For more information about how Enterprise Ireland can support you on your startup journey, visit enterprise-ireland.com. Enterprise Ireland, helping Irish startups go global.
Right, let's do quick fire round. What book should every founder read? Or if you don't read a book, you can give me some other sort of resource.
Yeah, I'm actually not a massive reader, to be honest, over the last couple of years. In terms of, I'd actually recommend a podcast, outside of your own, by the way.
I was going to say, recommend another business podcast, we're going to have to cut this out.
A lot of really good episodes, of course, on yours, which I've listened to. But there's a guy who really, really inspires me. He's a guy called Rich Barton. He set up Expedia, Zillow.
Oh, yes.
He was involved in Glassdoor. And he does a podcast called... he was on with, I'm not even sure who the presenter was, but it was called How I Built This. And he was the guy that kind of gave me the willpower and the strong mind that I have now, he's the guy that came out with that kind of analogy. Once you get 10 customers, you can get 100. If you get 100, you can get 1,000, and so on. And that's how I've grew my business. I knew when I got 100 customers, I could get 1,000, 10,000, 100. And once I hit 100,000 customers, I knew I could get 1,000,000, and it was that listening to that episode what inspired me. So really, really cool guy, and really interesting story. What I'd recommend.
What have you sacrificed for your success?
Yeah, I wouldn't say sacrifice in terms of I want to do it. I've enjoyed the journey so far, and I'm excited about what's to come. So I wouldn't say sacrifice in terms of course, The obvious ones are time with friends, family, partners, all of the above. But it's something that I really, really have enjoyed doing. So I definitely wouldn't say I've sacrificed.
What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
Yeah, good question. And I've listened to all the answers of all the guys that have been on here before. But definitely would be investing in some sort of e-commerce business, potentially subscription where you don't have the cost of physical goods, something similar to mine. I've probably 6 or 7 different industries that I know that what I do could be replicated in. And of course, as mentioned before, if you can acquire customers for less than what the subscription is year one, then you're on to a winner year 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. I'm going to give you 1 million euro. You can invest in one person or one company. Who is it?
Yeah, the one company I would invest in is, and I actually looked them up this morning to kind of see what position they're in. I use a company called Replo. They're based out of Silicon Valley, and they're a plugin for Shopify. And essentially, what it does, it enables you to have multiple website pages and home screens. So, say for example, if you're a business targeting, so whoever you're targeting, whatever link that you're using to target them, you can have a different customized homepage for your website based on whatever your ad is or what you're targeting. So say for example, I put an ad out on Facebook and I'm targeting football trips and you're interested, you click it, on my home screen, it'll be all about football.
Gotcha. Yeah, that is really frustrating when you click an ad and you're just brought to this random web page and now you're like scrolling, you can't find it, scrolling. You click off. So that's really clever.
So they allow you to have
Replo.
Customizable home pages, which a lot of consumers won't be aware of, but really, really smart. We have about 100 different home pages for different avatars.
Amazing. If you were going to start again in 2025,
yep.
You're starting from zero, what would you build?
Yeah, same thing again. So I'm obviously going to be starting from scratch going into the UK. The way I would do it is I would give the first 100,000 people a free membership. Obviously, it's easier now for me because I already have attraction. I've got reviews and I've got a really captive audience and done really well in Ireland. But inevitably, the more people talking about it, the more people seeing what I'm doing and the more people getting to benefit from it, would obviously just drive more people to signing up. So,
do people value things if they're given for free though?
Potentially not. But the way I would do it is by doing it through a company that would give it as a staff perk or maybe as a customer benefit, which is part of our strategy for launching into the UK. We're looking at acquiring 100 to 200,000 customers before we even send an email.
Nice. What do you believe that other people find strange or strongly disagree with?
What do I believe? I suppose just because I've mentioned it in terms of money isn't the be all and end all. I know this is a business podcast and business inevitably is about making money, but I think that in life, you've one go at life. And I think I look probably fairly sad saying this, but you've one go at life. And a lot of people take life too seriously. There was a great entrepreneur from the town that I'm from who worked his absolute ass off and died at 49, who probably had the plan of retiring at 52, 53, 54. And that kind of taught me that do work hard, of course, but inevitably you've only one go at life and there's no point. You're not going to take the money with you.
That's why I need you to get looking after that body and that brain of yours.
I do.
What's been your worst investment?
My worst investment is, I tell you my best one actually.
I'm going to ask you that next. Give me your worst one first.
My worst investment. I don't think.
Doesn't have to be business related. It can be anything. Something you bought, you're like, oh, that was an absolute terrible idea.
Yeah. Jesus, there's genuinely nothing springs to mind.
Okay. What's been your best investment?
My best investment was also my worst investment. So before I set up Roy's Travel Club, in around the time I came back from traveling and I set up an alcohol business and a guy came to me and, I was in the alcohol industry, obviously with Cool Swan, and a guy who was also in the industry kind of says, look, why don't we do this together? We set up and basically he kind of gave the money for 50%, but 20 grand or 30 grand for the first run of it. And I give away 50% of this company as such. We went and made 100,000 cans of, do you know what hard seltzer is? It's boozy water.
Yeah.
So I launched the first hard seltzer in Ireland. We're in about 2 weeks before White Claw. And essentially we were in about 250, 300 shops and we sold out all our cans and I realized we weren't making much money. It was pennies because we were getting someone else to produce it. And because that guy obviously had invested, of course, what was coming back to me was very little and I was doing all the work. But it was the worst investment was getting involved in that. But it was the best investment ever now because I'll never give away 1% for the wrong amount of money.
Love it.
Whereas if I didn't do that, I would have given away 50% of Rory's Travel Club potentially for 50 grand or 100 grand, which at that time would have felt like a lot of money.
Mm.
And I can see a lot of early stage founders that do it. It does seem very shiny and it seems like a lot of money at the time, but you're...
Happens all the time because it is all the money in the world to you at the time because you don't have any money. But it's the hardest thing in the world. It's just chicken and egg. Someone says, I'm going to give 50 grand and you have 0 grand.
Yeah.
But I think you have to learn that lesson. You can tell this and people will listen and go, yeah, Rory sounds good. And people will still make that mistake next week. But so I think for you, it's huge.
I was so lucky I made that mistake because I would have given away, if someone came to me, I would have done the same thing. I probably would have given away 20% or would have got a co-founder. And of course, co-founders can be amazing if you've got the right one and the right bond. But if someone came to me with 50 grand back then, says like for 30% or whatever, I would have thought, oh, this is brilliant. Whereas because I'd made that mistake before, and I was so, so thankful and so glad I did.
Okay. As we wrap up this episode, I want you to leave people with just one thought that they'll probably remember lots from this episode. But if they want to remember one thing, what bit of wisdom would you give them?
Yeah, I'll go back to kind of that quote that I live by in business is, if you can get one customer, which anyone here that has got a business or works for a business definitely can have, there's massive issues if you can't get one customer, but if you can get one, you can get 10. If you can get 10, you can get 100. 100, you can get 1,000. If you can get 1,000 customers, you can get 10,000. 10,000, you can get 100. And that's obviously, that's the last step that I've got on this ladder. But I knew when I hit 100,000, I could get 1,000,000. So anyone listening there, that's kind of the numbers. And that's kind of the motto that I've lived by in growing my business. And I think it's kind of that's my mindset. And it's so, so simple.
I love it. If you're listening, you've made it all the way to the end and you're a Rory customer, comment below, whether it's on Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, wherever, where you've traveled with Rory. I'd love to know, because I think there'll be a lot of overlap between who listens to this and who's a member of your club. If people aren't, where can they join?
Yeah, so rorystravelclub.com. It's €12 a year. We have a regular subscription, which is basically we send out 2 emails a week, and it's hotels, it's holidays abroad, and it's stuff that you'll do with your own friends, your own family. And then we have a group trip subscription, is if you want to travel with other people from all over Ireland. As I said, it's about 50% solos. There's a few couples, well, there's a lot of couples on it. Then people may be traveling with colleagues, sisters, whoever it may be. So we have the two subscriptions. They're both €12. And of course, you can sign up to one or the other. Or if you want to sign up to both, that would be much appreciated.
Love it. Rory, you're an absolute gent. And I really admire what you've built, but more so how you've built it.
Fair play. You're a legend.
Man.
Cheers.